This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Good morning, folks. If you would indulge me for a moment, just want to wish a good friend of mine happy birthday. Happy birthday, Jan. Hope you have a wonderful day today. We look forward to seeing you this evening. We've got a great show lined up this morning. We're going to visit with Guy Williams, president of Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. We'll talk about the California insurance crisis. Why, you may ask? Because a lot of similarities to how it is set up there as it relates to how we're set up here with Citizens. They call it the FAIR plan and what they're about to do. We're also going to look at the CPI plus jobs report. Equals the Fed is on hold, what that means, and the Super Bowl plan that's actually put forward by Representative Steve Scalise, and other issues as well. At 11:30, we'll visit with Mark Earhart, president of the Earhart Group. Every year, he sends out a letter at the beginning of the year, kind of summing up a little bit of 2024, and looking forward to what the holds, what the horizon holds for us in 2025. Dr. Mordecai Potash joins us, pain specialist, Tulane, and program director and lead psychiatrist for substance abuse treatment. There's a new drug being considered by the Food and Drug Administration. Actually, they approved a new type of non-opioid painkiller to treat moderate to severe acute pain. We'll talk about that painkiller and what are the benefits and what's the downside. Ramina Bhatia, who I always love talking to, director of budget and entitlement policy at the Cato Institute, will dig deep into what is it going to take to stabilize the Social Security fund. There are a lot of folks that are saying that we'll do okay just with higher economic growth. Is that true or not? I'm a little bit reluctant to talk about this, but in many respects, not so. Last week, there was a story that broke on February the 13th about a newly appointed archbishop in Detroit. And on the same day, Archbishop Amon issued a letter to the archdiocese about things that are going on relative to the Second Harvest Food Bank. And it was amazing the connection between these two things. And as I started to read deeper into the letter and thinking about what the archbishop here was saying and what the archbishop, newly appointed archbishop of Detroit, Edward Weisenberg, was saying, there were things that just jumped off the page to me. And I don't know, at first blush, they were really problematic. The Archbishop of Detroit, Edward Weisenberger, is very critical of Donald Trump's immigration policies. And he's also criticized the president's plan to dismantle the U.S. Agency for International Development. You will recall that DOGE has been looking at U.S. aid and finding a lot of stuff that is really problematic, and even some more recent articles about some of the NGOs that had received funding from USAID and how they go about spending that money with luxury trips, first class plane tickets, resort hotels, all that we are financing, the taxpayers of this country financing. Why should we not look at that? But the Archbishop Weisenberger said the following. He said, in our culture, when we don't have to see that person, see that process, we can kind of close our minds to it. But I don't think a Christian can do that. And I wondered, is that not what happened when the church turned a blind eye to the sexual predators disguised as priests? I mean, for years, they internalized that. They move priests who were predators from parish to parish, only to offend again. And we find ourselves in a predicament here in this archdiocese, a financial one for sure, not to mention the obvious moral dilemma that the church has been facing for a long, long time. It's interesting, he was talking about USAID. Also back in 2018, when he was a bishop in Arizona, Weisenberger suggested that the church should issue canonical penalties for Catholics who are involved in enforcing our frontline protectors, first responders, Border Patrol, Customs Enforcement, in enforcing Trump-era immigration laws at the border. Now, these canonical penalties, he doesn't articulate what they are, but they could include withholding Holy Communion or excommunication from the church. Now, how crazy is this? This is absolutely incredible. So now we're attacking those that are protecting us because they take an oath to the Constitution and laws of the United States, the Constitution and laws of the state that they're servicing in their community, to uphold the laws, that now the church should be considering canonical penalties for those in the enforcement of same. Now, let me state the obvious. One can only wish that the protestation of sexual abuse by priests would have been as resolute as opposed to the ambivalence that we all witnessed for so many years. And it created all kinds of dilemmas for folks as they dealt with this, especially those families that had experienced that, and those families close to those families that had experienced that. And the pain and the suffering that they continue to go through today. Kind of interesting, right? How many times have we heard from the pulpit of how we should act as Christians and forgiveness? And yet we are advocating for canonical penalties for enforcers of immigration laws. How did we get to this point? Which brings me to the most recent letter by Archbishop Amon to the Archdiocese. Interestingly, the letter starts out by stating that the community conversation around this leadership transition, some would probably characterize it as an upheaval, at the Second Harvest Food Bank have continued and have grown more contentious over the past week. Now, one might suggest that skepticism is not synonymous with contentiousness, right? And in James chapter 3, verse 1, it says, not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. One could argue that there's all kinds of evidence as to whether or not there should be doubt. We talk about, conceptually, there was a discussion about $16 million for assets that are within the control of Second Harvest Food Bank. Interestingly, dozens of members of the board of directors of that organization had actually unanimously voted to ask the archdiocese to step aside because they thought that was in the best interest of Second Harvest Food Bank, considering all of the difficulties that the archdiocese is having to deal with relative to sexual predators. And here we are. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 16, and do not forget to do good and to share with others, for which such sacrifices God is pleased. What's interesting is, why would one not consider just walking away? How many times have we heard about sacrifice being preached from the pulpit? In Romans 12, verse 1, Paul encourages Christians to offer themselves as living sacrifices to God. I don't think one would disagree that any organization with $1 less, $1,000 less, $100,000 less, $1 million less, or conceptually $16 million less is less than financially. It doesn't necessarily mean that one can't live up to the mission and vision of the organization. But one cannot argue that that organization facing the burden of having to give up a sum of money for the purposes of the archdiocese separating from that organization is less than. Now, we've all heard the adage, actions speak louder than words. What better opportunity than right now for the archdiocese to exhibit sacrifice, to walk away? It's interesting because in the letter it also points out that with continued donor and volunteer support, the mission, right, the gospel call and tenet of the Catholic faith to feed the hungry, will not change. The dedicated and experienced staff continue to provide these vital services and will continue to do so. It's a recognition of that continuing to sacrifice, both financially and by providing labor. Right? But is it not also just to ask of the archdiocese to do the same? To walk away, understanding that the gospel call and tenet of our Catholic faith is to feed the hungry and to assist in the community in fulfilling the mission of Second Harvest Food Bank. We have the Archbishop in Detroit saying it. We have so many others saying it. Actions speak louder than words. If one was wanting to improve the optics of everything that's going on around this particular situation, why would we not explore the opportunity of just walking away? As was pointed out in the letter as well, when there was a change in 2011 of the Second Harvest Food Bank relative to Catholic Charities, they move forward and they will continue to move forward to create less liability and bureaucracy. And that's what they're contemplating now. The easiest path forward, in my view, is to exhibit sacrifice, to just simply walk away. Because the interesting thing about Second Harvest is that the success of Second Harvest was built on the volunteers and the donors, giving of themselves each and every day. exhibiting living sacrifices, living up to everything that we've heard from the pulpit for so many years. So one has to ask, has the Archdiocese really looked inwardly to see whether or not there's an alternative course of action that may make more sense to our community, to our Archdiocese, and the place that we call home? We'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Love to hear from you, 504-260-1870. We're still trying to get in touch with Romina Baccia, Director of Budget and Entitlement Policy at the Cato Institute. One of the most pressing issues that polls really high every time there's a poll asking about Social Security is the viability of that program moving forward, the future of it. What is it going to take to be able to better fund Social Security to create economic stability for a lot of folks that rely upon that in their retirement years? It is of critical importance to the success of this country, no doubt. And we continue to play at it and with it and around it politically for a host of reasons, because a lot of folks don't want to consume the political capital necessary to decide how to best remedy the situation, which is not unusual. There are a whole list of issues that we face each and every day in this country that people just don't really want to come to grips with. And I don't know what the solution's ultimately going to be. I know there are a lot of recommendations by a lot of different folks, a lot smarter than me, that have looked at the Social Security system and trying to figure out the best move forward. There is just one thing that seems to be consistent amongst most economists and otherwise, is that higher economic growth is not going to bring about a change in Social Security because of the way that benefits are actually quantified. And there's accelerators for inflation and adjustments to the benefits that are paid out of Social Security that in many respects far exceed whatever the economic growth may be. And in fact, they're adjusted for that. So we'll see if we'll continue to see if we can get Romina Baccia on the phone. Love to hear from anybody that wants to comment on what I talked about in my monologue. This just continues to be a nagging issue. I've talked to a lot of folks about this issue. A lot of folks have approached me about my previous monologue on this issue, my interview the other day with Nick Carl, a former board member of Second Harvest. A lot of folks have a lot of strong feelings about this situation and about making sure that there's a wall between donor funds and operating profits from operations within organizations, and making sure that none of that goes to financing or part of a scheme to settle this litigation out there with priests that were sexual predators. And they feel very, very strongly about that. You know, and one of the reasons that I talked about, it was interesting because it was really the toils of folks that volunteered their time there, volunteered and gave money to the organization for a number of years. Somebody just texted in and reminded me that Taylor Swift just donated $10 million to Second Harvest. And they have been the recipient of some really large awards for the work that they do. Most people believing them to be a secular organization, one where there's not this religious component to it. They've worked hard to make sure that they maintain the appropriate balance because of some of their fundings that they get from other organizations as well as the government as well. And I really strongly believe, and a lot of folks agree with me, that they would love to see the Archdiocese just walk away. Thank people for the sacrifices that they made for so many years and making this organization zing financially, operationally, and otherwise, and let them continue down a path of growth, because that's part of their vision and the strategy developed by the previous board was growing into other areas of the state of Louisiana, and I think even in the state of Mississippi, if my memory serves me correct, and allow them to move on. And, you know, so it's just interesting that we ask of other people in so many different ways to give of our assets to them, but when there's any opportunity for the Archdiocese to exhibit the same thought process that we've heard about sacrifice being preached from the pulpit for so many years, and it's a good thing, it's the right thing, it's the just thing to do, we have this opportunity at this point in time to allow them to separate. And I would remind folks that the dozens of folks that served on that board were appointed by the Archbishop. So his own appointees have suggested that they believe the best course of action is for the Archdiocese to step aside, the Archbishop to step aside as the corporate member of the organization. He himself said that if maybe he would have acted more appropriately, as well as the other side, they could have reached some resolution. But I doubt very seriously that this opportunity to just walk away has really ever been given serious consideration, and it should be. If you're looking to improve the optics, if you're looking to those that are having a real difficult time squaring up the manner in which the church throughout this country, not just in this archdiocese, throughout the country, have tried to hide a significant problem, issue, horrific behavior day after day, year after year, decade after decade. If you want to improve upon that, actions speak louder than words. We have this opportunity to embrace a success story and make sure that they move forward and not be burdened with the conduct of others that had nothing to do with that organization. Nothing at all. Zero. For all intents and purposes, zero contribution. It just kind of, you know, creates pause. These are not easy conversations, right? Folks, myself included, conflicted as it relates to your faith, your belief system on so many different fronts. But if you don't know me that well, and if you don't know me by now, I'm not afraid to confront difficult issues. They need to be talked about. I did it as sheriff, and I've done it on this show, and I will continue to do it. It doesn't mean that I have disdain or dislike for those out there. It's just I believe that we need to look at ourselves critically in the mirror each and every day. And as James 3:1 that I quoted earlier, if you're going to be the teacher, you know that those who teach will be judged more strictly. Otherwise known as it goes with the territory. I don't know that I would have characterized that as contentiousness. I would dig a little deeper, scratch the surface, and look down as to the why, as opposed to the what. The community conversation, why is it being had? We know it's being had, but why? The why is simply people are having a very difficult time squaring this all up. They don't want to believe that those that they believed in lied to them, misled them, perpetuated a landscape and a climate of sexual abuse. And as I say those words, I can't believe that I'm saying them. But it is the truth. And there's been a lot of evasive action in helping those that were abused get to the truth for a number of years. It has been a very difficult journey. And the interesting thing about the Catholic Church is there's not been an adoption of a systematic way for all of the archdioceses to act in unison with one another in righting a wrong. In fact, each individual one has strategically gone about this in their own way. In their own way. It says, Newell, get a text just came in, get the Archbishop on because I'm hearing a totally different story. I've offered time to the Archbishop. I always offered time to the Archbishop. That is never a problem. That's not an issue. I don't know what could be said contrary to walking away, make the sacrifice, and allow them to move forward and not be dragged in to this difficult circumstances and situation that the church finds themselves in at the present time. They did not participate in sexual abuse. They did not have priests that participated in sexual abuse working at Second Harvest. There are multiple degrees of separation between them and the archdiocese. And it would seem to me that in anyone's heart of hearts, if they wanted that mission to continue on with the success that they've had in the past, the easiest path to make sure and ensure that that continues to be so, in my view, just an opinion, simply walk away. We'll be right back. 504-260-1870. We'd love to hear from you. Stay with us. Folks, we have a great lineup for the remainder of the day. Guy Williams, president of Gulf Coast Bank and Trust, is going to join us in a 12 o'clock hour. And we'll talk about the California insurance crisis and why that's important to us here. The funding and financing of the alternative plan that's out there. We call it something different than they do in, we call it Citizens here in Louisiana. They call it the FAIR plan out there. Some of the way that the construct of that plan works are very, very similar in nature. They are truly facing a crisis, and it's going to be interesting to see how this ultimately plays out. We'll also talk about the CPI plus jobs report and what that means to the Fed. Mark Earhart, president of the Earhart Group, we'll talk about 2025. His organization puts out a letter every year at the beginning of the year as to what the landscape and what the horizon holds in 2025. It looks back a little bit at 2024. And coming up in the top of the hour news break, we'll visit with Dr. Mordecai Potash, pain specialist, Tulane and program director and lead psychiatrist for substance abuse treatment. Services there. The Food and Drug Administration approved a new type of non-opioid painkiller to treat moderate to severe acute pain. It's interesting to see what the side effects of this are, not to mention cost and what the research has revealed. And we will try to revisit with Romina Bacci. I'm not sure where the breakdown is, but hopefully we'll be able to do so because she always has a very interesting insight. She's with the Cato. I love her articles. You can find it at catoinstitute.org. As she writes about a number of different things, having, I think, served inside of government as well, at one point in time. She has a unique perspective on a lot of what is actually happening out there. Give us a call, 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. We've been talking about this situation with Second Harvest Food Bank, this separation that was trying to be achieved by Second Harvest relative to the Archdiocese. Archbishop Amon issued a second letter to the Archdiocese on February 13th, which was Thursday of last week, talking about community conversations in and around this process. Is referred to by the Archbishop as leadership transitions in the hopes of becoming more spiritual in nature. Not exactly sure what that means, but I'm assuming that that means the people that he removed that were not spiritual. I don't know. I'm having a real difficult time wrapping my head around it, and I'm sure a lot of others are as well. And I'm getting a lot of texts. I'm a Catholic. My children attend Catholic school. It truly pains me to say this, but the hypocrisy within the Catholic Church has gotten so bad. I no longer attend church services. My faith in God is unwavering, but the people running the church I have zero faith in. And when I interviewed the Archbishop back in 2018, it was actually a conversation that I had with him as he looked at parishioners in the eyes and how they were reacting to the revelations at that point in time. They had just released a list of names of the priests that had been accused of being a sexual predator, and the pain that they were seeing. He recognized it, he said, and obviously it was very troublesome to the church, but this comes on the heels of many, many years of really hiding this problem, moving this problem around. And, you know, it was interesting. And after now we're here in 2025, 7 years later or 6 years later, and we're still dealing with this. And as one texter said, as a former sheriff, if you arrested someone for trespassing and hunting on posted land, would you just move them down the road to a different pasture that was posted to allow them to poach some more? That's exactly what the Catholic Church did with these pedophiles. And it's true. I've said from day one, just call 911. We investigate these matters every day. Every single day. The public rarely knows about these investigations. We rule people in, we rule people out, and that's what we do. And we're able, under the law, to protect the victims and others from the release of that information. Let's go to Jim on line one. Jim, what say you?
Hey, man. First of all, whatever Second Harvest can do to help the Archdiocese, I think they should do it. And they didn't ask for this to happen. The priests snuck in. They snuck in the 60s and the 70s. They snuck in this organization and took advantage of kids. Yes, they took advantage of kids, but now it's time for us to take responsibility and help the church out. The same thing in Boston, helping in Boston to help the churches in Boston out. Boston is free of it now, you know what I mean? And you learn from your mistakes. That's why I feel like the Second Harvest, whatever they have, they should help the Archdiocese out. You might feel differently than I do, but that's what I feel about it, okay?
No, that's fine. I mean, I think there's going to be a lot of differing opinions on this matter. It's just interesting to me that, you know, we engage in a mission, and that is to feed the hunger, to feed the poor, and to not present it as if we take dollars in order to separate ourselves from that organization, because that's kind of what this boils down to, right, is they want to separate from the church. And I don't know that there's a recognition that if we take dollars, that organization is less than. It can't.
It's not the idea of taking dollars, New. I think it's not the idea of taking dollars. The idea of them helping the organization out that started it, first of all. The Archdiocese started Second Harvest Food Bank to help the people right in New Orleans, the Acadian area, all the areas around here. And I think this should help out with the Archdiocese. You say what you want to say about the Catholic Church. They have done some things like all organized religion has done. and they just need help now. And my philosophy to them, if I give them what I have to give them, I'm going to give them the help now so they can start over again. And that's how it goes. Religion plays a very important part in people's lives.
No doubt, Jim. I think everybody's conflicted about this conversation, right? But you can't just discount the fact that what the Archdiocese did was to come in and remove folks that had a little bit of a level of skepticism, and I think skepticism can be healthy, about whether or not the dollars that they would be providing would be utilized to help settle the claims made by victims that were victims of sexual abuse, plain and simple. I think it's a legitimate question to be asked, and one I think they're entitled to an answer. We've had a bit of a roundabout way in order to get to it, and we're still using really selective words in our messaging about donor funds. Why not just say all funds? And why not just come right out and say, we will not use not one red cent dollar of anything that we receive from Second Harvest relative to the legal problems that we are facing today, specifically claims made by those victims. Plain and simple. We don't need to talk around it, or otherwise, I just offer it up as an alternative solution. Just simply walk away. Make that sacrifice, as pointed out in Hebrews 13, verse 16, and do not forget to do good and to share with others, for which such sacrifices God is pleased. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry. And get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.